So let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer, and we'll go from there. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer this morning. Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for the day that you've given us. Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity to come and be here in your house, Father, to open up your word. And Father, in our next service, we're going to be singing praises to your name. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that so much that we have still that freedom here in America. And Father, I just thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to never take that freedom for granted, and the grace and blessings that you have given us, Lord. And we just pray that you'd help us, Lord, to use it fully to our lives. And now, Father, we pray for those who are out this morning, Lord, that are away on vacation. And Lord, I just pray that you would begin to work in their lives, Lord. I pray that you would give them the rest that they need. Father, in the place of service that they have chosen for today, Lord, I pray that you'd bless them there. Lord, help them to be a blessing to the people that they'll be and the church that they'll be at today. And Father, we pray for your will to be done. And Lord, I pray now that you would guide us and you would direct us in all that we need to do. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, what we're going to do, this is a pretty familiar portion of Scripture for all of us, and I'm going to read the first part of it, and then we're going to kind of just go verse by verse and look through it and look at some things, and I've got some comments and questions, or some comments that I want to give you along the way, which will help us see what we need to see. And the Bible says here in Isaiah chapter 6, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his feet, he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto the other and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sins purged. And also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, and understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitants, and the house without man, and the land utterly desolate. And the Lord having removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land, but yet in it shall be a tenth of it, a tenth, and it shall return and shall be eaten as a tale tree and an oak whose substance is in them. Then they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Now, as we kind of back up here, and we look at the scriptures here, and again, it's a very familiar portion of scripture for us, and it's the call and the vision of Isaiah. when God spoke to his heart. And I often go back to this scripture, and I look at this scripture because it does good to go back and review. It does good to look at things again, because what it does is it helps me know first of all, refresh the call in my life, and also it helps me keep myself where I need to be, especially in the circumstances that I might find myself in. Because I don't know about you, but it seems like every day, when we get up, and it is every day when we get up, we're always in a new set of circumstances. There'll be different things that'll come about us, and hit us that day, the day may be uneventful. But nevertheless, each day is a new day. Each day has its trials. Each day has its situation. Each day has its problems. And each day, praise the Lord, has its victories. And this was the same for Isaiah here. In verse number one, as it says, in the year King Uzziah died. And again, it gives us a time stamp to know when this call was, but it also gives us an ideal of the circumstances and what was going on in Isaiah's life at the time of the call. And it says, when this event took place, when this situation happened, I like the next part of this verse, because it says, and I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Now, as I was looking at this morning, and as I was reading over this scripture, no matter what circumstances comes up in our day, no matter what we're faced with, my question for you this morning is, how do you see Jesus? How do you see God? And I guess also, where do you see him? How do you see him, and where do you see him? Many times we'll allow the circumstance that we're in, or the situation that we're in, to overshadow and to blur our vision, or sometimes just to kind of hit us broadside and knock us completely out, and temporarily blind us. Of course, as a believer, we know that we cannot be permanently blinded there, but the devil can hit us a good one every now and then. I know it happens in my life that way, and temporary blind us. But again, the key thing is not the circumstances; it's what you see while you're in the circumstance. When you're seeing right, no matter what's going on around you, then you can do right. And see, with Isaiah here, he was in a situation, and God was going to call him to do a job that he probably really didn't enjoy too much, because again, he was going to have to go and preach and teach to a stiff-necked, hard-necked people called the Jews, who had forsaken God and who didn't want much of God, and were going the wrong direction. You know, it's easy, when you're sharing good news, but when you come around to share bad news, well, sometimes that's always a different story, and many times much harder to do. And that's what Isaiah was going to have to do eventually here, as he was going to have to give some bad tidings and give them some bad news and preach to them. And we'll get to that here in a minute. But in his circumstances, please take note of where he saw the Lord. He said, in the year King Uzziah, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. We need to make sure that in our lives that we never dethrone Jesus Christ in our life. Now again, we're not talking about losing your salvation, but again, sometimes we can allow what's going on around us to prevent us from seeing the Lord and how he needs to be. The Lord is there. He'll be there to deliver you, and so we need to make sure that we always keep the Lord on his throne, where he needs to be in our life, because that's where many folks in their lives go astray and have a problem, because the Lord's not on the throne in their life like he should be. And again, you say, well, how do I get God on the throne? How do I keep him on the throne? And how do I keep all of that in control? Well, again, and I've said this over and over again, Brother Jason has said it, Pastor said it, in daily Bible reading and praying. We cannot survive as believers. Now, again, we're not talking about losing your salvation, but you will not live a victorious Christian life if the Word of God and praying is not a part of your life. And I'll take it one step further, a daily part of your life. So I want to encourage you to do that. That is probably the number one way, brothers and sisters in Christ, that we'll be able to keep God in his place and see him as we need to see him, high and lifted up. And the Bible says his train filled his temple. Now, again, I watch the news, and sometimes my wife says, I don't know why you watch this, because they say the same thing over and over and over again. I like to watch the Fox News, and yes, each guy that comes on or each gal that comes on, they repeat a lot what was said before, but you know, in between they're repeating of what the other guy said, you catch a little bit in between there. And you know, I'll tell you what, if you listen to all that stuff, it's real easy to get discouraged. As a Christian, as an American countryman, it's easy to get discouraged of all of the foolishness and the amount of the foolishness is going on. But, you know, and I thank the Lord for it, one of the ways that helps me keep it balanced is where the position that Christ has in my life and how I see Christ. You know, when we see Christ high and lifted up, well, what we're also going to do is we're going to see his train that fills the temple. And what we're talking about there is we're going to be able to see and realize that he's in control. The Democratic Party, they and President Biden and Vice President Harris, you know, that bunch up there in Washington, they just think they're in control. You know, they think they've got it all figured out. They think they've got it all set. But what they don't know and what they don't see is what we as born-again believers see and know. And that we see God, he's still on the throne. They may have gotten Trump out of the White House, but they didn't get Jesus off his throne. He's still there, and he's still very much in control. And then again, when the Lord Jesus Christ is on the throne of your life where he needs to be, what you're going to see is as the Bible says in verse number 2, above it stood seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And again, what you're going to see is you're going to see what's surrounding God. You're going to be able to see something that the world can't see, and again that God is in control and things and everything that is around God has still giving honor and glory and praise to God, and then what you're going to hear in verse number 3, and it says, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory. Now again, as we see that, in the seraphims they cried out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And when the Lord is on the throne where he needs to be, and when we can see him clearly because we've got a clear view of the Word of God and the things of God, you know what we're going to understand, even though some days it's really hard to see, the Bible says here, the whole earth, not only in heaven on his throne, but the whole earth is full of his glory. And And again, our politicians, they think they've got it all under control. And if we'll look around us, we can look at this situation and think this is really bad. But what we can understand and what we can know and have peace as believers, that the whole earth, not part of the earth, not some of the earth, the Bible says the whole earth is full of His glory. And that gives us peace in knowing that things are going to turn out exactly how God wants them to turn out. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and we were talking about creation, and this man, a good man, but he made the statement that Adam and Eve didn't have any knowledge before sin, and they were just kind of ignorant before sin. They didn't have any kind of knowledge of anything. And I shared with him. I told him. I said, "Well, I said honestly, I told him. I said, I don't want to argue with here, but I don't agree with that. I said, because God created them in His image, after His likeness, and they were created perfect. And what knowledge they didn't have was knowledge of evil until after they sinned. But they had knowledge. They had perfect knowledge." As we talked about that we were talking about different things. This man also had been on a missions trip before, he was talking about we were able to kind of meet there in the middle and connect, because he'd been on a missions trip way up into the mountains of Peru. And He talked about his trip and how he got out there, and there was no electricity, and way out there, and how he could see the stars and how beautiful it was. And I've shared all that with you, and what we were able to see, still, even though we live in an imperfect world. And what I was getting at is what I told him. I said, I kind of wonder what creation was like before sin. Before God cursed the ground and thorns and thistles grew up, and before leaves started turning their colors and dying, and if you look here real close, around our property, we've got a bunch of trees that are all eaten up by the ash bug, and there's some ugly out there. But at the same time, when you look at it, you see God's beauty. And I told him, I said, well, I kind of wonder what the world looked like, and I think we'll get a glimpse of that in heaven, but what the world looked like before the fall of man. And because now, even now, the mountains, anywhere that I've gone, and I've described to you being up in the mountain villages late at night and seeing all the stars up there and just, looking like you could just reach up there and grab a handful of them all down and just hold them in your hand, and you can see so clearly. And then being able to stand on that edge of the mountain and look out and see the clouds down below you. And just see blue and beautiful as far as you can see, and it's just amazing the wonderful things that you see here on this earth. And so the Bible says here, and I believe what God does is God allows us as believers, when we keep God and we keep the Lord Jesus Christ on the throne where He needs to be, what He allows us to be able to do is He allows us to be able to see past the imperfection. Helps us to see past the problems. Helps us see, and again, praise the Lord, we've got the Word of God, and we know what the future is. And it was such a magnificent thing that Isaiah was looking at. The Bible says that the post of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried, and the whole house was filled with smoke. And again, the power from the seraphims that were crying out, saying, "Holy, holy, holy." This is one thing that I desire, that my praise to God would move things. And you say, well, you want the doorpost to move? Well, No, what I would really more like to see than doorpost move is when I give praise and honor to the Lord is to see the hearts of men moved. And again, it all goes back to keeping Christ on the throne where he needs to be and seeing him clearly. And when I can see him clearly and when I can hear what's going on around his throne clearly, you know what? I believe that my praise to God, and especially now where we are, the darkness that we see and the problem on every corner and we've come through the coronavirus pandemic and all this stuff that's going on. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are at a position now that we have not been in many, many, many years of giving honor and praise to the Lord and being able to glorify. And as many times as I possibly can, and as far as I know, somebody might correct me on it later, but I give the testimony of our church during the coronavirus situation. To my knowledge, not one person within our church got COVID because they came to church. Now, quite a few of you have had COVID. And praise the Lord, when Brother Hadley got COVID, God decided to take him home. But nobody got COVID from coming to church. Everybody got it from being at work. Everybody got it. Some of them got it for being at weddings and family reunions. But no one got it from coming to church. And if you think about that, that's an amazing testimony. That's an amazing testimony how God protected our church, how God kept the virus on the outside of the church, and I thank the Lord for that. And you see, I often use that testimony and give that testimony to many people because God blesses faithfulness. God blesses when we keep him where we're supposed to keep him in, and we'll be able to hear things. And the Bible says here, and the post of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And when we keep the Lord Jesus Christ on the throne where he needs to be, and we see the things around him, you know what that always helps us do? That always keeps us in the right place. That always keeps us in check spiritually. Because when Isaiah saw this in verse number 5, he said, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And because Isaiah could see the Lord so clearly, and because he could see everything that was around the Lord so clearly, what that helped Isaiah also see was what in his life he needed to get right. What in his life he needed to take care of. And folks, that is another thing that I want to encourage you on. Always make sure that you keep a short sin account. don't let it build up. Because, you know, that time's going to come when you need to call upon the Lord. And, I like to be prayed up so that way when that time comes, I don't have to spend all that time tearing down the wall of sin and getting rid of all the things, out of the way and the division between God and myself before I can get to what I need and the problem that I have. And when we have the Lord Jesus Christ on the throne, when we have him where he's supposed to be, it'll not only help us see what it's around him, but it's also going to help us see within our hearts and where we err. And you say, well, why is that important? Because again, as I've told the young people downstairs many times, the devil's smart. He's a whole lot smarter than any of us in here. And he doesn't come to us in a red outfit with a pitchfork and pointy ears and a pointy tail. He comes to us as an angel of light. He takes the truth and he twists it just a little. Because if he takes the truth and twists it just a little bit, he gets your ear. He gets your attention. I mean, if he comes to you, with a fifth of whiskey, and says, "Here, take a drink of this," you're wise enough to say, "Hey, I don't think so," if he comes to you, with a van load of impure women, and says, "Hey, fellas, let's go out and have some fun." Well, yeah, it's pretty obvious that that's not right. So he's not going to do it that way. Now, there are some people that have slid in that far in their life that the devil can do that and get by with it. But, for the average Christian that keeps God where, keeps the Lord Jesus Christ where they should be, what happens is it allows you to see when the devil takes the truth and just kind of arranges it a little bit differently. And you see, again, we have the perfect example of that of Adam and Eve in the garden. Because he took the truth and he just changed it a little bit. Just enough to cause her to stop, to look, to wonder, and then she fell. And so when we have God on his throne, when we have Christ on his throne, when he's in our life like he needs to be, these things are revealed to us and we see them before they become a major problem. Because one little compromise leads to another little compromise, and then before we know it, we've compromised a great deal and we've gotten ourselves in trouble. And so keeping the Lord on the throne, keeping him where he needs to, where we can see him, where we can see him clearly, will reveal. And that's what it did for Isaiah. It said, "Then said I, woe am I, for I am undone." He talked about himself personally. And he said, "Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." He also talked about the people around him. And I'd like to challenge you on that. Bad friends and bad relationships cause problems. Who we keep close to us often dictates the direction that we go. And again, this can be avoided if the Holy Spirit of God and the Lord is sitting upon the throne and you can see him clearly. This can be avoided. Isaiah was able to see those around him very clearly and how they were. He recognized it. And he said, "For mine eyes have," and then he goes on and said, "For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." You see, when you've got God in your life, sin gets revealed. People don't just fall into sin. We call it that. We say, that God bless that poor soul. He fell into sin. No, he didn't fall into sin. He walked into it. He walked into it with wide open eyes. And again, because he felt, and most people when they fall into sin, or I should say they get caught, what they find out is they've been hanging around the wrong people. What they found out is they've compromised just a little bit here and just a little bit there. This little drinking, it's not going to hurt you. Just this one time. This little peek on the internet of pornography. It's not hurting no one else. And you're the only one that knows. Well, first of all, it's hurting a lot of people. And secondly, God knows, and the devil's waiting for the opportunity to reveal it. Amen. And he will. So keeping the Lord where he needs to be, up on his throne where we can clearly see him, it will help you identify the sin in your own life. It will help you identify the sin and the people around you. And the answer is found in verse number 6. "Then flew one of the seraphims unto him, having a live coal in his hand, which is taken which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sins purged. Praise the Lord. Back in Isaiah's day, God still works the same way. When we've got God where he needs to be, and we go to the Lord Jesus Christ and we confess our sin, that live coal put on our lips, it changes the way we talk, it changes the direction we go, it changes everything about our lives. And praise the Lord, the Bible says here, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sins purged. Praise the Lord for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, when that happens, and when we have a right relationship with the Lord, you know what we hear? Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. You know, many times people say, Well, you know, I don't understand what God wants with my life. Well, it goes back to what we've been talking about. You see, when we call upon the name of the Lord and we confess our sin and we get things right with the Lord and the Lord's where he needs to be, his call becomes very clear. No question. And praise the Lord, we have the scriptures as born again believers. You know, there's one thing that you don't ever have to pray about. You don't have to pray, should I or should I not read my Bible? You don't have to pray, should I or should I not pray? You don't have to pray about, should I or should I not witness? God made it absolutely, abundantly, positively, no doubt about it, clear. Each born-again believer is commanded by God, and as a church, we're commanded by God to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And you know why so many people have a hard time with that and why they can't hear it? It goes back to where God is in their life and how they see the Lord. When Isaiah had all of that lined up, and see, this is what this picture is showing us here. Isaiah having it all lined up, and when he had it all lined up, when God spoke and said, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? It was a no-brainer for Isaiah. Then said I, Hear my Lord. You know what he was saying? Pick me, pick me. Here I am, here I am. He was volunteering. You know, many times we sit and we wait for a call. You know, we wait for that spiritual telephone to, you know, to ring and the Lord Jesus Christ be on the other end and say, I need you to teach Sunday school at Faith Independent Baptist Church. I need you to drive a van route at Faith Independent Baptist Church. I need you to go out soul winning for Faith Independent Baptist Church. You know, we wait for that glorified phone call. You already got it. And if you missed it, let me repeat. When God calls and says, you need to be a Sunday school teacher for Faith Independent Baptist Church. You need to be a bus worker for Faith Independent Baptist Church. You need to go out and soul win for Faith Independent Baptist Church. Now, if you didn't catch that, let me repeat it. No. You see, when God is where, when God in our life and the Lord in our life is where he needs to be, we don't have a problem hearing the call, nor do we have a problem volunteering for the call. And so it's very important. And then the other thing, when all of that is lined up in verse number 9, and he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, see ye indeed, and perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. You know, when I read that the first time, I got to thinking, well, why should I bother if that's the kind of people I'm going to be dealing with, and they ain't going to hear, they ain't going to listen, they ain't going to understand anyway. Well, because, see, it's not about them. It's about him. we're going to run into hard-headed people. You know, a lot of them are independent fundamental Baptist people. Hard-headed, stiff-necked, and just about unmovable. And sometimes I really kind of wonder, are they really born again? Now, that's between them and God, but that's just me throwing that out there. And Isaiah volunteered knowing the group of people he was going to head into. You know, one of the most discouraging things that we can run into is talking to people that won't listen. Giving the gospel to someone who don't want it. And you know, we might be tempted to say, oh, forget it. They don't want it. They don't want to hear it. I can spend my time doing something better. Wrong. Because you know what God's commanded us to do? That stiff-necked, hard-headed, won't-listen person, we're to tell them anyway. We're to witness to them anyway. Because again, it's not about them, it's about Him. And so when we got the Lord where they need to be, we see things clearly, and then we know how long we're supposed to go, and I'll quit with this. And the Bible says here in verse number 11, "Then said I, Lord, how long? And He answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitants, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate." Verse number 12, "And the Lord have removed men far, far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land." You know what he was preparing Isaiah for, and what he was telling Isaiah here? When Isaiah said, "How long, Lord? Till I come back. Till He comes back. Don't stop. No matter what, no matter who, don't stop. Keep going and keep working." And then I'll just encourage you to do this on your own time. Read verse number 13 and think about that verse. You know, when everything looks bad and hopeless, there's always a piece left. There's always a tenth left. There's something left. There's a blessing there. And so I just wanted to encourage you today, give you an eye exam, and only you know that where you passed, what strength your spiritual lenses need to be. But I want to encourage you to get in the Bible, get into the Word of God, and pray. And you'll see a whole lot of things that you've never seen before, and it'll be wonderful and it'll be great. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for the Sunday school time that we've had here. Lord, I pray that you would just be with our folks. Lord, I pray that you would guide and direct in their lives. Father, I pray that you would be with the needs represented, Lord, for those who are at home sick. Father, I pray that you would guide and direct in their lives, Lord, and heal their bodies. And Lord, help them to be able to be back with us. And Father, for those who are still traveling to be here in this afternoon service, Lord, I pray that you'd give them traveling mercies. And Lord, we're just looking forward to a wonderful time in this next hour. In your name we pray. Amen.